Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things when you're streaming live, as always, over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app and your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And if you're looking for a fun challenge to do outside in the Delta, we got you covered. Beth Stevens, the executive director of the LaFleur County Chamber of Commerce, is joining us today to let us know about the 15th annual Viking Half Marathon there in Greenwood. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca. I'm so glad to be here today.
You know, one thing about cooler weather, just a smidge cooler, it makes running a whole lot easier in Mississippi. So it's a perfect time of year.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. You know, to be honest with you, Rebecca, I'm not a runner. People ask me every year, do you run this event? I'm like, well, I run around and help make things happen, but I don't actually run. But I do think that the cooler weather is definitely better than our summers here in Mississippi.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? You should put on one of them step things on your watches, Beth, because I bet you probably get in a half marathon or more leading up or through the actual race, and that counts. We could give you a medal for that.
I'll take that. I do have one of those watches, but, you know, I don't wear it every day because I have a traditional watch that I like to wear sometimes, too, so I don't always keep up with my steps, but I do know that I get a lot of them in leading up to a big event like this.
Yeah, and people who have been working on their steps, whether it's walking or running or jogging, they're always looking for fun ways to maybe challenge that or just to see new parts of the state. I think one of the coolest parts of the running community is kind of that tourism, that they kind of fit tourism, I think is what they call it, where they use that as an excuse to travel. I know I've been guilty of that. I mean, it looks like it's working for you guys. I mean, 15 years. Have you been with it since the start, Beth, or what was happening 15 years ago to encourage a half marathon there in Greenwood?
So, Rebecca, that's a great question. I've actually been here at the Chamber for 20 years, so I was here when we started this thing. And, you know, our community has a great history of sports events, whether it's running or cycling. You know, we have one of the state's most popular cycling events in August, which is our Bikes, Blues, and Bayous event. We also have a big running event in September, which is our 300 Oaks race, and it's one of the three oldest road races in the state of Mississippi. So we thought, you know, something is working here. What else can we do to encourage people to come and visit Greenwood in this capacity? And so, you know, there was not a half marathon in the Delta 15 years ago, so we were actually the very first one. I know shortly after us, the Mississippi River Marathon and Half Marathon came along, but we were the first half marathon in the Delta, and people love to come here to run or walk or ride their bicycle for the simple reason that we are flat, and people love flat when they are running.
They do that, Beth. You took the words out of my mouth. I was like, man, it would be an easy one to ease into if you were looking for a first-time marathon or just to see how fast you could possibly run one. The flatter, the better for both of those types of enthusiasts.
Absolutely. It's a great race to start out. A lot of people have come here and have gotten made a personal record here because the course is so flat. So, you know, if you're not a half marathoner, we have a 10K. If you're not a 10K runner, we have a 5K run. So there's a little something for everybody here.
What's the route, Beth? I mean, when people think of the Delta, you know, you think of the flatlands, as you mentioned, but there's also some beautiful countryside. There's some really farm agriculture to sort of see. Where, you know, for 13 miles, that can be a really long Delta road.
That's a great question, Rebecca. Actually, we don't go too much, and we really don't go outside the city limits, just because we're trying to keep everything as compacted as possible. And you know, with our law enforcement and safety, we want to keep it as compact as possible, and still giving people a good taste of what the Delta landscape looks like. There is a little bit of running out on some farmland, but not too far out, just enough out to kind of get a little taste of it. But a lot of it is running through our beautiful streets in downtown Greenwood. You'll cross over the Yazoo River. You'll go down historic Grand Boulevard, which years ago was named one of the 10 most beautiful streets in the country by the Garden Clubs of America. So lots of beautiful houses. But there's also a lot of shade trees. So if it happens to be a little warm that day, you've got some shade to help cover you while you're out there on the course.
Well, that's always a good thing. And two, all the fun things to do around it. As I mentioned, a lot of people enjoy these type of things to make for a little short vacation, staycation. I know for many listening to Good Things, you know, you could make a Greenwood half marathon in a day, but more than likely you're going to want to come up and stay at least that Friday or sort of that Saturday night and kind of make a little bit of a getaway out of it. So how are people combining all the good things that Greenwood has with the race that's coming up in 2 weeks or next week?
Right. So we obviously we encourage people to come and spend the night and or spend the weekend, make a weekend out of it. You know, Greenwood is one of those little hidden gems that has a lot to offer that I don't think people realize just how much we have here going on in our community. We have a great little museum here that talks about the history of Greenwood and the Delta. Plus, it always has great local traveling exhibits that come through. Of course, we have the Viking Cooking School that is here, which a lot of people love to sign up and do a cooking class. We have the spa here, which is wonderful, down at the Alluvian. We have some great restaurants here in our community, and I'm really excited because this next week, just in time for the half marathon weekend, our Turn Row Book Company bookstore will be reopening after it was pretty much a total loss from a fire several years ago. So we are super excited that our local bookstore is back, will be back open and up and running again. And I mean, who doesn't love a good local bookstore to hang out? There's an art gallery there as well. There's a little cafe up on the second floor. So it's a great place to come hang out and grab a book. And we have a new coffee shop across the street. We also have some other new businesses that are opening in downtown over the next couple of weeks. So there's a lot of things you really can do here in Greenwood that that will fill up an entire weekend.
I know it's not too late because you're here joining us on Good Things, Beth, but is it too late to sign up for the half marathon, or is there still spots open?
Never too late. It is never too late, Rebecca. You can come show up the morning of and sign up and run this race if you want to. That's the beauty of technology these days, is we have the capability to sign people up all the way up to the start time for the event. So it is definitely not too late to sign up. As a matter of fact, we are getting ready to post on our Facebook page here in just a few minutes a lucky code for today only, because it's St. Patrick's Day, and it will give you $10 off your run if you sign up before midnight tonight. So if you're listening and you're thinking about running, go check out our Facebook page, Viking Half Marathon, and get that code and use that when you register, and you'll get a little bit of a discount.
You know, the fun things with half marathons, Beth, speaking as my former runner self, is especially the local ones, they can be great practice runs for larger events that you may be working for. It's a great way to make a long run a little bit more fun, and you get a cool medal, right, and maybe a t-shirt and all of that out of that. So I love when people are able to kind of like combine that into supporting what's going on in their local communities. You did mention,
absolutely,
though, like tricycles or bicycles. Is that for like the 5K if a mom wants to go run it, or dad or grandparent, and then the little ones can trike their way through it? Or did I misinterpret that in terms of the bikes?
So, yeah, when I was talking about bicycles, I was referring to the big cycling event that we had in August. So that's more of an adult race. But we do have a lot of moms and dads who want to come participate in this event, and they want to push the kid in a stroller and run at the same time. We're good with that. We encourage that. So bring that stroller out if you want to run behind that stroller. We certainly encourage you to do that.
Okay, so this is coming up March 28th. Is there anything else happening in Greenwood you want us to put a pin in on our calendar that's maybe happening in at least the next couple of weeks, Beth?
Well, like I said, we've got the bookstore reopening coming up on Wednesday. That's next Wednesday, which is March the 25th. And then on Thursday, two nights before the actual half marathon, our downtown retailers and merchants will be hosting Downtown Uncorked, which will allow you to go from store to store and sample wine tastings and shop and get discounts and do all kinds of fun things. There will be some live entertainment. So it's a great opportunity to make a long weekend even longer if you want to come in on Thursday and shop Greenwood downtown. We have some wonderful stores and delightful little shops downtown, and you can sip some wine and do that from 4 until 8 o'clock on Thursday night.
I like it. Planning out the whole weekend there, Beth, for us in Greenwood. And if we want to visit Greenwood or get our hotel rooms or go ahead and register for the race, where do we go for that?
So if you want to register for the race, you would go to VikingHalfMarathon.com. If you want to visit Greenwood, we have a link on that page that will show you different things that are happening, different places where you can stay, restaurant options, shopping, all of the good things. Or you can go to VisitGreenwood.com as well, and that will take you to our tourism's website and will give you lots more information and a calendar of events for everything that's happening here in Greenwood.
Well, I appreciate your time, Beth, and I encourage you, wear that step counter. I bet you get your half marathon in, too.
I will. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I appreciate your support.
All right, you guys stick with us. We got more good things for you coming up next.
And if he'll go with me, we'll go roaming in Kilkenny. And I'm sure he'll treat me better than me only sporting Jenny. Washer, ringle, doodle, da. White fall, daddy-o. White fall, daddy-o. There's whiskey in the jar. Washer, ringle, doodle, da. White fall.
Ask me all the time.
Listening to Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour. Good things with Rebecca Turner here on Super Talk Mississippi. Now, let's have some fun.
While in the merry month of May, not from me home I started, left the girls at human nearly broken heart, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears, I smothered enough to reap the corn, leave where I was born, caught a stout black tar to banish ghosts and goblins, brand new pair of brogues to rot the love of the bogs, frighten all the dogs on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky
road. Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live, as always, over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too. We are on that computer, that mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And don't forget, Middays with Gerard Gibbert. He will be at the Westin in downtown Jackson coming up tomorrow. That is Wednesday. He'll be there for the Madison County Business League and Foundation, along with, help me out, Rhino.
Precon
Global Investment Group. You know, I will get that right by the end of the day, but yet it'll be over come tomorrow. But Precon Global Investment Group's annual luncheon with a keynote speaker, Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hosemans. That's coming up tomorrow from 10 to 1 on middays. But today, are you wearing your green? Happy St. Patrick's Day. Before we dive into that, I did want to mention Jeff and Raymond on the text line. I saw it right as we were wrapping up with Miss Beth. Said he was in Greenwood a few weeks ago for the first time in nearly 20 years. And what a transformation. So if you've got an idea what Greenwood was at once, they've gone through a bit of a transformation over the last two decades. So glad to see what's happening in Greenwood. Impressed, the downtown and Highway 82 corridor is fantastic. So that's Jeff in Raymond. So that is a good reminder that don't sleep on our smaller towns. Many of them have been up to a lot of good work. And it takes a couple years, you know, sometimes two decades. To make big turnarounds or big changes in their downtowns, main streets, or surrounding areas. But there's a lot of growth in a lot of different towns. And so if you haven't visited Greenwood in a long time, there's your sign that maybe now's the time to go and check out and see what they've got going on. A lot of good things. But it's a good thing, too, if you are wearing green today. Rhino, I see you are in the clear of wearing your green on St. Paddy's Day. It's one of those things where it's really not a big deal, you know, if you're not wearing it. But when you realize it is, you probably instantly think, oh, I could have worn, you know, X, Y, and Z shirt that's in the closet. Or you think, man, if I'd have just thought about it, I'd have had a little fun. I think it's one of those things where Many of us just enjoy partaking for, you know, the fun of doing something a little different or just to have a little joy in the day. But, you know, learning more about St. Patrick's Day is always a cool thing. For me, it's a little different this year just because I had the great pleasure of being in Ireland back August of last year and kind of learning a little bit more about St. Patrick and getting to visit St. Patrick's Cathedral. Two different things are happening today. You know, in Ireland and those of that descent, it's not exactly the party and the celebration and the parades and the green beers and all of that that we kind of think of here in America. It may have transformed a little bit more as we sort of, you know, bleed into more of the festival type celebrations for most things. Think about like Mardi Gras. But for them, it's a time of remembrance for St. Patrick and what he did for Ireland after what Ireland did to him in terms of enslavement, came back and chose to use a life of service as a missionary and helped lead a lot of the Irish to Christianity. Where the St. Patrick's Cathedral is on top of a well where he used about 1,500 years ago to baptize people into Christianity. They built the cathedral about 800 years ago. When you see structures like that, it just kind of changes things. If you've never really, you know, here in America, we don't get to see things that are that old, other than maybe trees and other kind of like landmarks of that capacity, but not necessarily buildings. We don't have 1,000-year-old structures, hanging around in America yet. You know, I'd have to do the math, but our grandchildren may still have that opportunity. But I will say, I don't know if many of our structures are built as well as some of those that were built back in the, you know, in sort of that time.
I mean, it kind of depends on what your definition of a structure is.
Well, that's fair.
Because, I mean, the Indian mounds are
true.
Easily 1,000 years old in some places.
I will take that. That's fair, yeah. What's neat, though, that I didn't realize is here in the United States, we have pretty much been celebrating St. Patrick's Day kind of from the get, just because we've always been kind of a smorgasbord of people here. So it's kind of always been ingrained in kind of our culture a little bit, especially with Christianity being part of it. But for those in Ireland, it was not. I mean, St. Patrick had to come to then have to sort of create it. And so it's just a completely different celebration. Also, I didn't realize, too, that, you know, corned beef and cabbage or corned beef and hash is such a big deal here in America.
Well, those are two different, totally different things.
There's a corned beef and cabbage, should I say. But that's not necessarily how they celebrate over there. That's a very American approach to St. Patrick's Day, but still a delicious one.
And yeah, corned beef and cabbage is to St. Patrick's Day as Taco Bell is to Cinco de Mayo. It's an Americanization.
That's a really good way of kind of putting it in that way. But it's still delicious. There's still nothing wrong with if you want to sort of enjoy it that way. It's also nothing wrong if you want to enjoy the folklore and the mysticalness that is St. Patrick's Day and what we've kind of created it here as well. It gives you a break from reality. I've always enjoyed St. Patrick's Day. I think it's because, at least here in Mississippi, we've always had the St. Patty's Day parade, at least in central Mississippi. I recognize that holds a lot of different memories for a lot of different folks. And you, like any Mardi Gras parade, you make out of it what you want to make out of it. I'll leave it at that. But it was one of the bigger things that we had, you know, here to kind of go that everybody would gravitate to and enjoy. And so I think I've always just and always felt happy. The music seems happy. Everybody just seems like they're having, you know, like a good time. And I feel like that's something that we should all embrace a little bit more. I feel like with your heritage, Rhino, even though you're probably a little more Scottish descent than Irish, have you always lent yourself to St. Patrick's Day?
I mean, I wouldn't say I've been the biggest fan of St. Patrick's Day, but I've always enjoyed St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about it, and I was like, well, what's something tied to St. Patty's Day that's like a not historical moment for me, because I don't have any real historical moments in my life, but a meaningful moment. And I thought back, and it was like, well, the first time I ever tasted beer was a green beer celebrating St. Patty's Day.
Really? Well,
because mom had got a green beer, and I was not of age, and I snuck a sip, and
That's
she
fine.
Caught me, and she goes, well, do you really want to try it? And I was like, yeah, and I took a big gulp.
took a, and the rest was history. I wish I could have you or give you a real Guinness. I know I've said this before. Nothing against what you can get here in America in the stores. It's just simply, it's just not the same. It's just, it's not the same. It is not the same as getting one in a brew or a pub there. It's just different. The quality's different. The pipes are different. I don't know what happens to it when it gets shipped over here. But it's just, it's not the same. It's definitely not bad here, but it's just, it hits different, sort of over there in that way. I don't know if they turn theirs green necessarily for St. Patty's Day, but they don't need an excuse. They're drinking, they're drinking beer every day, which is about every meal, and they don't look back. And we would probably be shocked at the age at which they probably start giving their kids some Guinness over that way, but it's just definitely.
And since it's good things and we're a politics-free zone, I'll keep it vague, but there are some people of Irish descent that aren't the happiest with Guinness on St. Patty's Day. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same people that really get upset if you wear orange on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, you learn a lot about that. And too, I was thinking when we had the Viking half marathon, I was like, oh, the Viking half marathon right on St. Patty's Day. That's not a good thing. So I was like, oh, kind of, oh, maybe not, you know. But it's history, right? Like, I mean, it's part of it and it's all in one big grand story. And I think the part of it that I do wish more people, regardless of how you celebrate, is particularly get to better understand St. Patrick as the person and kind of his life that like led to this big celebration that we kind of have, because it's a really remarkable one kind of in that way, and dive into some of those curiosities around the legends and the folklore, and then still have a little fun. If you follow me on social media, you saw my youngest. She set a trap for a leprechaun last night. She has been talking about wanting to catch a leprechaun since we got back from Ireland. You can't convince her that they're not real. She knows they're fairies. She knows there's no lady leprechauns. She knows that they like gold. She knows all these different things kind of about them. And I'm not 100% sure how she learned most of it, other than I think there is a book that is called How to Catch a Leprechaun that she has read at school, and so that kind of led us to this. And so we did it. We made a little trap last night. We went through all the checklist of things you were supposed to have, and so she got the opportunity to wake up this morning and find herself with one caught. I think she was a little disappointed. She is getting a little bit older to kind of have more critical thinking skills around certain things. We'll just leave it at that. But it was still fun to think that she had caught something that that her trap worked. I had to give anything to have a, you know, never mind. Jump right out at her. This morning would have been awesome. Couldn't figure that out on the fly, but nonetheless. All right, stick with us. We got more good things for you coming up next.
With Rebecca Turner, bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do here on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And Mississippi is full of wonderful museums, and Hattiesburg just opened a new one. And joining us today is Latoya Norman, and the director of museums, and an over a cool project. So welcome, Latoya.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. Yeah, it's good to have you back, and it's good to talk about new things that are opening there in Hattiesburg. And the Osceola McCarty House, it's a museum that's depicting her life and legacy. And I love this. We've had, when the statue was unveiled, I guess now a couple of years ago, we talked about that. And so when I saw that her house had kind of been turned into this wonderful museum and opportunity to educate the public, I was like, wow, that would be something I would also enjoy going to see the next time I'm in Hattiesburg. So kind of tell us the backstory of how this project started, LaToya.
Thank you. Well, the Osceola McCarty House came into the district in 2019. We had a commissioner who told our executive director about the McCarty House. It was available for sale, and we really were on board from the beginning, just knowing that that was a story that we felt was important to share, because there's so many people who hear the name Osceola McCarty and don't actually know who she is. And so the house moved here in 2019. Of course, in 2020, we were hit with COVID. And so we moved at a slower pace than what we thought. But we celebrated the grand opening on what would have been her 118th birthday this past Saturday. Well, a week, more than a week ago now. But we celebrate the grand opening of her house as a museum that will tell that story so that people know who she is and what she represents.
I love that the house was able to be preserved. So had someone lived in it prior to that, and then you guys took on the project of maybe reverting it back to the way maybe she had it, or what's in the house if you go to visit now?
So if you go visit now, so it had been, I guess, several owners before we received it. It's not a traditional house museum. When you come in to a living room, we have everything laid out as close to what it was like when she was there. So we did have photographs that helped us get it close to the way it was when she was there. But there are graphics in the space. There are some interactive components. You get to hear, she was a woman of deep faith, so you get to listen to some of her favorite gospel songs. It's really as close to when she lived there, but it also has graphics to help tell that story of washerwomen in Mississippi and just in the nation, and also the story of Miss McCarty.
So tell us a little bit about that story, LaToya, of Miss McCarty, because I feel like, again, those listening to Good Things, hopefully they were listening a couple years ago. I'm not sure how long ago it was that you unveiled the statue there of her sitting on the bench. But it's a phenomenal story. And it's, as you mentioned, one of a woman with great faith and integrity, but also, you know, thinking about giving other people the opportunities that maybe she wasn't able to have, and that led us to this museum. So give us a little background of Miss McCarty's life.
Absolutely. So the Osceola McCarty story, basically she gained worldwide notoriety when she chose to give 60% of her life savings to the University of Southern Mississippi, which equated approximately $150,000. And this was for the purpose of establishing a scholarship fund for you, for students with a financial need who would be attending USM. Her gift immediately captured national attention because she had spent her entire life as a washerwoman, earning as little as $1.50 per bundle in her early years. So when news of her generosity spread, she became a national inspiration. So she received numerous honors for this gift, including the Presidential Citizens Medal from Bill Clinton. She was interviewed by well-known figures such as Bryant Gumbel, Katie Couric, Oprah Winfrey, David Letterman. I mean, the list goes on. And so although she lived a quiet and modest life, what you will see when you visit the museum is that her extraordinary act of giving brought her into the spotlight and turned her into a symbol of philanthropy. One of my favorite stories that I read about Miss Osceola McCarty is that, you know, this was an irrevocable trust that she set up. So that means that she would not be able to see the first scholarship recipient because it would be passed on when she was deceased. But the community just really felt like we need to make sure that she gets to meet the first scholarship recipient. So her generosity inspired so many others to donate to her fund so that she would be able to live to see the first scholarship recipient. So Stephanie Bullock, who was the first, Carletta Barnes was the second, but they, Stephanie Bullock was here at the grand opening, and so that was very rewarding, but her generosity really sparked just a national effort to donate, not just to her fund, but just to donate worldwide, because if this woman who comes from humble beginnings could donate this amount, like, why can't anybody else?
Agreed with that. And two, the opportunity to go and now see our home. I'm looking at it over at Super Talk TV. Latoya, a great picture of it, of the ribbon cutting. And I'm thinking, what a cute house. Like, I would love to, you know, sort of tour it and sort of see, peek behind the curtains there. Is this still a scholarship that's being offered there at Southern Miss? Has it been able to continue on since her passing?
Yes. So it is. It actually just reached 1 million corpus. And so that's a big milestone. If you visit our website, which is OsceolaMcCartyHouse.com, let me make sure I have that right. So if you visit our website, we have information on where you can go on the university's website to actually donate to that fund.
Well, if we want to come visit, Latoya, what are kind of the hours or the best way to do that now that the museum is officially, or the house museum, or the museum, I guess we would call it, is officially open and taking on, I guess, visitors or guests?
Yes. So you can visit the Osceola, it's OsceolaMcCartyHouse.com. That is the website if you want to schedule online. Or you can call the 6th Street Museum District at 601-450-1942. We are open Wednesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then on Saturdays, noon to 4 p.m. by appointment. So we do encourage guests to schedule an appointment in advance, but if you're coming to the district and you didn't get a chance to schedule an appointment in advance, if you come during those days, we usually can accommodate a tour. So those are the two ways that you can schedule a tour.
Is it near the campus, Latoya? Is it within, I didn't know if it was in walking distance or kind of near the downtown area?
Yeah, it's absolutely within walking distance. So you would go to 305 East 6th Street to the African American Military History Museum, and then we would have a tour guide to escort you over to the McCarty House, which is just across the street. The address there is 310 East 6th Street.
Where is the statue at, Latoya? Remind us of where, because that's open all the time. So even if you forget to make your appointment or it's just not in the cards for you that day of your own campus, I know we have so many parents who will probably be visiting Southern Miss and other universities, obviously, and upcoming. I think it's one thing to at least go and see and get a picture.
Right. So that is actually on the campus of the University of Southern Mississippi. That's their project. But at the Osceola McCarty House Museum, we do have some opportunities. We have statues throughout the exhibit space. And one of them is actually in her backyard. And so you get to sit down. There's a Bible prop where you can bring that in front of you and have your picture taken as well.
Is there any or guesstimate how many years she put back, Latoya? When did she start this to kind of, or when did she realize that's what she wanted to do with her savings?
So she donated the money in 1995, and that's when she made the decision. So she had a relationship, of course, with different banks in Hattiesburg. It was at Trustmark that they, you know, saw the amount that she had saved and talked to her about, you know, what are your plans with this? And so the banker that she, the president of the bank at that time, Paul Laughlin, spoke with her, and he said that they laid out dimes, 10 dimes, and she said that she wanted 6 to go to the university, 3 to family members, and 1 to her church. And so she made the decision in 1995. Of course, she wanted to make sure that she could care for herself, and so she wanted it to be in an irrevocable trust, but she made it very clear that she did not want to change her mind. I also wanted to add that she wasn't able to complete school. She quit in 6th grade to care for her aunt. And so one of the reasons that she felt it was so important for her to give it to the university is because she wanted to make sure students had the opportunity that she did not have. And if she had the opportunity to go to school, she wanted to become a nurse.
What an inspirational story, and no wonder it got national attention as it should have. And hopefully more people will come and visit the McCarty House and be inspired to be a little bit more giving. I think that would be good for all of us. Right, Latoya?
I agree. It's definitely an inspiration.
Well, I appreciate your time and all that y'all are doing there in Hattiesburg with your great museum. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
As my fitful career it approaches its end, and I lie in a critical state, no matter what physics the doctor may send, won't she send them 10 minutes too late? Punctuality's all very proper, I know. All the hurry and worry I hate, for it always occurs that wherever I go, I'm exactly 10 minutes too late.
Nowadays,
here!
Rebecca Turner.
Over.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too if you would like. We are on your computer, your mobile device. You can also find Supertalk on Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices. You can even find us on YouTube. If you've got C-Spire TV, then you can find Supertalk and all its shows on Channel 70, right next to the Weather Channel. Or you can go to supertalk.fm/connect to find out more. Speaking of the weather, brought Fran, Frank, and Fred in last night from the cold. I will be putting them back out tonight. The other day, whenever I was talking about the weather, big weather change that we're going to have, I'm like, man, I thought I was done pulling ferns in and sort of out. But knock on all things wood, or whatever that old wives' tale is, I may have done the unthinkable and keep my ferns alive for a full year. So hopefully we can see if they sprout back out and enjoy another springtime into summer with them. But it wasn't for the faint of heart. Bringing them in and out and in and out through all of the winter weather, you know, and they hung in there with me, though. Like, so I feel like I can't give up on them, particularly now. So there you go. There's your Fred, Frank, and Fran update, which many of you have enjoyed. You've let me know. Keeping them, when you see them on my front porch, you are happy to see that they are alive. So there you go. Fran actually came to me, and she is a rose. She came for me. Not from Ireland, but while I was in Ireland, someone bought me Fran to remember the trip by. And so I have extra connection to it, and I don't want to see it die. I'd hate to have to go back. No, I wouldn't. I'd love to go back to get another rose. Over on the C Spire text line, talking about St. Patrick's Day, someone said, I don't know if you've already told, mentioned this, but green is actually an American color. It's really not traditional for St. Patrick's Day. That is true. I think the connection is too with the four-leaf clover, which St. Patrick's may or may not have used. And, you know, some of that, if you're talking about 1,500 years ago, some of that lore got, you know, passed down verbally over, you know, centuries.
Well, The color green is often associated with Ireland and the Irish people because it was adopted by the Irish revolutionaries of the 17th and 18th century as they were fighting for their independence from England.
And also, it's just luscious green. Like, when I think of it, I think of, like, oh, it's rolling hills and all of its beautiful landscape. You couldn't deny it. There could not be another color for that country. But
if you do go look at the color blue that used to be historically associated with Ireland, that is a gorgeous shade of blue. If you Google the Kingdom of Ireland coat of arms, mm-hmm. I think that's the one where it's a blue field with the golden harp on it. And that color blue, it's not a sky blue. It's not that light, but it's also not a dark blue. It's like a slate blue, or the kind of blue you would see in the side of a mountain or something. It's a fantastic color blue.
And I would say that's probably resemblant of some of the waters and the things there that you just simply cannot describe until you see those particular colors with your own eyes. But if you do like green and you like donuts and you're wearing green today, you can pop in a Krispy Kreme and you can get a free green original glazed donut by wearing green in shop or at the drive-through today only, March 17th. So there, break your diet and go and get you a free a free donut if you would like to do that. And then the only other one I saw that, and it's not really anything free, but I think McDonald's, the Shamrock Shake and the Oreo Shamrock McFlurry are available for a limited time. That may be just kind of like a March thing if you wanted to enjoy that. And then there's other...
I forget which chicken place. It's one of the chicken places is doing green lemonade.
That creeps me out. I don't know why that one does and like green beer doesn't, but I don't know. Lemonade seems to be, should be like a certain color. Call it a limeade. If you call it a limeade, it doesn't bother me because limes are.
Yeah, but limeade tastes different than lemonade.
It does, but I guess it's a different color.
You call something limeade and I taste lemonade, I'm going to be upset.
Well, you should call it, you should just, I don't know. I don't know. And also, I think the first time you take like a big swig out of green beer, when you can see it, it does feel a little funny because it doesn't look like it should be that color. But there's nothing, it's just, you know, food coloring that's changing it that way. And I think there are other several establishments that are getting in on the St. Patrick's Day, I guess, themes and offering you fun little extras. So if you're going in somewhere and you see them selling something and you're wearing your green, see if you get a little perk for that today and try not to get pinched. And don't just go pinch strangers. That's not a good thing. A little etiquette there. Family and friends only. Stick with us. You got more coming up next. You got the boys with sports talk from 3 to 6. Hey, Dad's not wearing green. I just saw him in the lobby. Uh-oh. Marano and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Good things for you and I. Good things for you and I. Good things for you.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.